Having heard this gospel, there's a couple things that might be going through your head. The first one might be, I need to find a new religion. Love your enemy. Love your enemies. This is a really hard word. It's hard in a lot of ways. First of all, it's hard because your enemy is the very one that you don't want to love. Who wants to love the person who's doing bad to you? Nobody wants to do that. And the second reason it's hard is because you really can't do that. Jesus is actually saying something you cannot do. Love the person that you do not love. It's impossible. Well, it would be impossible. The beautiful thing about this is that Jesus isn't telling us to do something out of our own, mustering up our own love for someone we don't love. Jesus is actually saying, it's almost like Jesus is laying hands on us and saying, love your enemy. God, Jesus is giving it to us, a gift, a capacity to love those that we don't love. Otherwise, this would be really a hard and difficult commandment. And we would be good. We would do well to go find another religion if it was just, you got to do what you cannot do. You're stuck. But Jesus is saying, here, let me show you how it's done. Let me give it to you. Let me put it into you. It works a little bit like this. So I have a pastor friend who was having a hard time. This is several years ago. A mother of a confirmation age son. And the confirmation age son was not showing up for confirmation. Just couldn't get him there. And the mother was not helping. She was mad at the pastor, so she was not doing anything to get the kid to go to confirmation class. Well, they're going to do confirmation at Pentecost. And at Easter, the pastor went to the woman and said, look, there's these weeks, we've got plenty of time between now and Pentecost when we're going to do confirmation. If you get your kid to come to confirmation, he's missed half the year. But if he comes, I'll confirm him at Pentecost. No kid. Kid doesn't show up. She calls again. And she's working up a really good hatred for this woman. Because this woman is just, she's irritating, and she is manipulative, and she's all these things. And so the pastor's like, no, I can't, this is unbelievable. I can't believe she's not sending her kid. And so the week before confirmation, the pastor gets a text from the woman. Hi, friend. Confirmation's coming. My kid's ready to be confirmed. And so the pastor has to say, we need to have a talk. So they have a talk. And all of that resentment, all of that hostility, all of that anger towards this woman is right there at the surface. This pastor is just like, no, 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 and it's your fault, and all that stuff, right? And so the woman comes in and she pulls every trick. Look, this is a church of grace. You should be able to confirm this kid and this and that. And it's just building up until finally this pastor, it dawns on her that, oh, what am I doing here? I am a child of God. Why do I not like this woman? Why do I hate this woman? What am I doing hating this woman, resenting her so much? What do I need from her? Oh, what do I need from her? And that was the key, that was it. And the word was, you need nothing from her. Love her. You don't need a thing from her. What she needs is to hear no. That what she's doing will not work. And it fell on her. Just like scales falling from Paul's eyes, right? And she said, I was filled with the most amazing love for this woman. I didn't need anything from her anymore. She didn't scare me anymore. I just loved her. And I loved her kid. And I said, no, I'm not going to confirm that kid. But I sure hope he will come back next year. And I sure hope you will bring him and encourage him to come. Isn't that beautiful? Nothing that pastor could have done to muster up that kind of love. It came down. Well, there was one thing that the pastor did. The pastor, this is a cliche, but I'm going to say it anyway, went to church. Here's the thing. Lutherans go to confirmation, and it's interesting that this story is about confirmation because Luther, the small catechism, right? It's the commandments, the creed, the prayers, the sacraments. That's the four things. Everybody remember, everybody's nodding like, yeah. All right. The commandment. Here's how Luther understood and why he set up his teachings this way. The commands, the Ten Commandments, right? But in this case, it's the command love your enemies. I can't do that. Luther said, if you can't do the commandments, then believe. And here's the creed. Read the creed. Believe it. And then people say, I don't believe all this stuff. I can't muster up faith to do this. And then Luther says, well, if you can muster up faith to do that, then pray. And here's the Lord's Prayer, right? And then if you can't pray, if this prayer isn't quite getting to you, it's getting through to you, then it's like, okay, if you can't pray, if you can't obey, if you can't believe, if you can't pray, come to church. And we'll just give it to you. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. The spirit of Christ. The love of Christ. We'll give it to you every single week. Can you do that? Oh yeah, I can do that. I can show up. I can receive. And then Luther says, now, having received, go back to step one. Obey, love your enemy. And you kind of go, well, wow. Huh, I kind of have a sense that maybe I can do that. Huh, I can't do that, but somehow or another, this person in front of me who I have always resented, who I do not like, who I hate, I've kind of softened up a little bit about on that person. And that might just lead you to like, wow, maybe there's something to this, believing this. Huh? And then it might be, wow, if there's that, there's more. Maybe I should be praying to this God who is giving me this unbelievable gift of love for people I don't love. And I might as well go back to church on Sunday and get some more. The Eucharist. So, the loving thing for that pastor to do for this woman was to say, No, we're not going to confirm this kid this year. But I want that kid to know this pattern. Because it's going to be really important for his life. Because he's going to hear commands to love people he doesn't love. And he's not going to know what to do. So bring him back next year. I might have added, and you can sit in on it too. But that wouldn't have been very loving of my enemy. So that's this thing. So, Jesus continues, and he says, pray for those who persecute you, and do good to those who do evil to you, and all of those things. And you might start thinking, wait a minute now, are we supposed to just be doormats here? Well, the example of that pastor was not at all that, was it? It was speaking what God gave her to speak to this woman, what she needed to hear. That's really important. It's still loving. It's very loving. And it's not passive resistance. It's very active resistance to the kind of mentality, to the kind of spirit that the woman was living in. So we're not asked to simply roll over. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek when Jesus says, hand over your inside, your coat as well. When they ask for your coat, give them your shirt. It's really give them your underwear and stand there naked. That's what it is. So that, because you, there's nothing that you have, there's nothing that anyone can do to take away your dignity as a child of God. There is nothing anyone can take that away. No one can take that. Even if they strip you, you still stand in the dignity of God because you are a child of God. Do you hear that? There is nothing that anyone can do to strip that dignity from you, from us. So, we might not understand the whole business of standing naked, but there's the story of Lema Bowie, who was a Nobel Prize winner in Liberia. And she gathered, and about 1,000 women gathered to pray, because in Liberia there was this huge civil war and people were dying, and young boys especially were being recruited into the army. I mean, kids who were 9, 10 years old. It was horrible. It was a horrible civil war. The president was a dictator, and all of the, and then there was this a guerrilla army that rose up against him, and it was just terrible. And civilians were being killed. It was terrible. So this woman and all these women and all these mothers, they gathered together to pray, Muslims and Christians together, and they were praying. And they found a spot. Every day the president had to go from his home to the White House, and they found a spot in the fields where they knew he would have to see them as he passed by. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they did things behind the scenes to get things going. And eventually they actually got people to the peace table, right? So the peace accords happened in the next country over, I think the Ivory Coast, I'm not sure where it was exactly, but here's the thing. It was hosted at this resort, right? Well, the guerrilla army had been living out in the jungle for 2 years. They were kind of digging living in a resort. And so they weren't really talking peace. They were like putting things in the way of peace. They were like, this is really nice, right? So that dynamic was happening, and people were calling Liberia and telling Lema and her sisters, look, this thing isn't happening. So they sent 200 women to this place, and they surrounded it, and they said, we are not letting you out of this room until you come out with a peace agreement. And there they were, and they were just gathered, and people were trying to leave, and they would just get right in front of them and not let them go. So one of the leaders sent the army police, the military police, to go and to arrest Lema and to take her away, so that get rid of the leadership and everybody else will go. Right. Well, there she is, and she's got all these women behind her. And these military police come up, and they're young, and they've got their rifles and everything, and they're saying, we've come to arrest you. She says, you want to arrest me? Okay, you arrest me. And she starts taking her clothes off. She says, and you will take me naked. And she starts to take her clothes off, and the guys are going, no, no, mother, no, no, mama, no, no, keep your clothes on, we won't arrest you. That's how powerful this shame is, right, this thing is. They would not do it. They could not stand the idea that she would actually take her clothes off and stand before them naked. And then she said, okay. And she said she was feeling very good about herself. She turned around, and all the women behind her were also disrobing. Right? So that's what Jesus is talking about. And so after that, those guys who tried to arrest her, they became spies for her. And that he would call her on the walkie-talkie and say, Lema, you've got to get some women over to this window. People are sneaking out the window. And they'd send women and tell them, get back in there. And until finally a peace accord was reached. That's the kind of power that Jesus is nonviolent, but very strong resistance to evil. That's the kind of power that it yields. Jesus isn't saying just, whatever. No, He is saying the power of love has the power to transform our world. And that love must be expressed powerfully, boldly, non-violently, but not passively, actively. To actively love your enemy. It might mean actually giving them more than they asked, to expose the injustice. It is exactly what Jesus does on the cross. You want me? You want to kill me? You want to make an enemy of me? Okay. And I will let the world see. And the world has been transformed. And not only has the world seen the injustice that happened on the cross, they also heard God's word about it, which was like that pastor. No. No. This death is not the end. And God raises Jesus up from the dead, the firstborn of the dead, so that we also can live the resurrected life, loving our enemies, actively loving them into new life, just as we have been actively loved into new life. So, I don't think we need a new religion. I just think we need to embrace this beautiful, beautiful thing that we've been given. To really enter into it. Wow. Loving matters in the world. Loving changed the world. Loving our enemies will continue to change the world. And thanks be to God, because we were once enemies of God, and God loved us into being children of his own. Amen.